Everybody jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip hop, the hip it of a hip, hip hop, you don't stop.
Rap, 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 rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
All right, it's the wrap. It's when I have a couple of friends here in studio with me, and we talk about the issues and events of the week, and good Lord, what was I thinking? But here we go. So, longtime, very good friend, Jonathan Owens.
Good morning.
Is here, a repeat offender. I don't blame you for this because this was your suggestion.
Oh, okay. I'll take responsibility.
You called me and said, you know who'd be fun to have on the wrap?
For you saying it was okay. I'll take responsibility.
Yeah, I'm not the gatekeeper. I am. He said, you know who'd be good on the wrap? He said, Larry Downs Jr. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. I'm like, okay, let me think about it. So, Larry, actually, you and I have known each other. I mean, we don't interact a lot, but we've known each other a long time. Going back to, yes. I had you on the show when you were criticizing Don Saguaro for Pensacola yes. Energy and, you know, them offering contracts for plumbing work that put you in a disadvantageous competitive position for the city. And this is like 9 years ago. So,
yeah.
We've known each other a long time.
Yep.
And you are, my best way to describe it is you are a mixed martial artist, a plumber, and a local blank stirrer at the county commission meetings. Is that all fair?
And a freedom advocate.
Absolutely, a freedom advocate. I don't think I agree with you all that often, but on a couple of things, important things, I think we really do agree.
Well, let me ask you something real quick. Do you know what the problem with freedom is?
It's ugly and messy.
Yeah, the problem with freedom is with freedom, you have the freedom to advocate against freedom.
True.
So freedom is its own arch nemesis.
That's exactly right. Part of the freedom is the ability to say that we shouldn't have so much of it. That's exactly right. So before we go too far down the road of all we're going to talk about, I do want to give you a chance to mention something that is one of the most interesting and entertaining small facts. There is a, I wouldn't call it a prize fight, but there is an exhibition. Chris Smith of Gulf Coast Gun.
Yes.
Is scheduled to do a boxing?
Boxing
Not
match.
MMA, right? Boxing match against state representative and, at least for now, city attorney for the city of Milton, Alex Andrade, because they have had interactions.
Yes.
And somebody said, I'll fight you. Okay, let's fight. And since you run Island Fights.
Yep.
Well, I don't run, but you're involved.
I'm an official and a sanctioning body for them.
So they're going to fight, but that's not the interesting part. The interesting part is that they're training.
Yes.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm training Alex right now, and I told Chris I would train him as well.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been getting training over in Gulf Breeze from another coach.
Got it.
And I know this coach, and they're both in about the same condition. So it's going to be fair.
Not prime?
I think you said about the prize fight.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it is going to be a prize fight, and we get to...
The prize is the audience
prize is what we get to watch.
And by the way, this is a real thing at the Bay Center for Island Fights.
There will be no punches pulled. This will not be a Mike Tyson, Jake Paul.
Pillow fight.
They will really be throwing, and the outcome...
Three rounds, 2 minutes
two-minute rounds.
That's great.
And there won't be a winner or loser because it is an exhibition. So at the end of it,
I think we'll know.
And I'm going to referee.
Okay.
And I feel confident that I can do it unbiased.
You feel safe?
I feel safe in a ring? I feel very safe. I'm not worried too much.
Well, that's going to be entertaining. All right. So the most recent thing that I wanted to have you on to talk about, and this is, you know, we're going to talk about the Congressional District 1 and the AG and all that stuff, but you have posed a problem at the Escambia County Commission meetings with what language is acceptable.
Yes.
And Stephen Berry has very consistently been trying to prevent you from using any profanity.
Sure.
You have been using what I would call mild profanity. It's, you know, PG-13 profanity. It's words I can't say on the radio, and we're not going to say on the radio.
Sure.
You also have a tagline. I'll let you say it. Larry Downs Jr.?
Larry Downs Jr. Plumbing, LLC, because fecal matters.
And that's not profanity, even though it refers to the same thing that, you know, other words do refer to in a profane way. Right. And... Your argument is what? Why do you want to swear in the meetings?
Well, I don't want to. I did it on accident.
Okay.
You know, it's one of my holy things.
The shirt you're wearing right now.
Yes. And so I did it on accident, but then he started to treat me like a child because I did it. And then he told me that I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, no, you're not going to use profanity, you know, while I'm here. And
you got escorted out one time.
Yes. And I don't think it's profanity. You know, that, see, that's a matter of perspective. One man's, you know, vulgarity is another man's lyric. You know, who gets to decide? It's kind of like the, you know, the 8 inches of grass. Anything over that's too high. Maybe I like high grass. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I like mine to be a foot. You know, who gets to decide these things?
Because, you know, and when I had Stephen Barry in here for the rap a couple of weeks ago, and I made the comment, I said, well, you know, what about light profanity? You know, things that we say would say on the radio, yep. You know, damn and hell, for example.
Sure.
He's like, well, I don't like to say those words either. Like, yeah, but you don't prohibit them.
But he says them. But he says them in meetings, and he uses them himself.
And in shade meetings, we have transcripts of things. Yeah, sure.
I mean, he uses worse words than I used.
So, Jonathan, let you weigh in on this. I know where Larry's at, and I know what the Constitution. What I think the Constitution actually says about this, but we'll talk about that. You were an aide. You were a candidate. You've been around government. Politicians swear like sailors all the time when they're off the mic, and sometimes on. But all, I mean, I don't know a politician who doesn't swear.
Yes. I don't.
And I mean that. That is across the board.
I know politicians that don't swear around some people, but they swear around other people.
Right.
Doug used to joke. He's like, just, I pray when I go into the meetings that I don't drop the F-bomb, you know, because it's so emotional, right?
Yeah.
A lot of this.
And your natural language comes out. Right.
Right. So. You know, from a freedom of speech standpoint, in my opinion, I agree with Larry. Who gets to define what the speech is?
There's this old argument about profanity that I think is on track, which is that speech codes tend to be elitist. Speech codes tend to try to censor essentially poor, less educated people because they are more prone to use profanity because they don't have highly developed vocabulary and syntax. And so they are more prone to profanity, and in censoring speech content for like that, you're kind of marginalizing them from the public square.
Right.
And we should not be. And there's a good argument to be made for it's classist and racist, but at least classist
yes.
to have speech codes. And that's a problem aside from everything else, you know, and as Larry, you've said many times, freedom is the stuff you don't want to hear.
Yes.
So I don't want to watch a meeting. It would make bad audio clips for me. But there's an argument to be made that, you know, it is the public's opportunity to redress grievances. As long as they're not disrupting the meeting,
yep.
which is what the Supreme Court has said,
mm-hmm.
everything else is okay. And I mean, I've been wanting to ask you this question.
Yes.
We'll take a quick traffic break, but I want to know if you're going to sue the county because I think you have a lawsuit against the county, and it may not be the outcome that any of us want,
yep.
Profanity-filled meetings, but I think that's what the Constitution protects. Feel free to decline if you don't want to answer, but are you planning to sue the county?
Well, let's just say I have met with some attorneys.
Okay.
And I don't like, you know, like you see, you did a little thing on you played one of my clips at the city council meeting.
Yep.
I've always controlled myself at these meetings, always. And
restrained yourself.
Restrained myself, mm-hmm. controlled from my speech from being offensive. You know, I mean, it may be offensive, but it's not in their realm of what they consider profanity.
Right.
So whenever they do that, you know, and if I said that at the city council meeting and I let it go, well, then, you know, just let it go. Mm-hmm. I won't bring it back.
Don't make it a thing.
It was an accident.
Yeah.
But when you look at a grown man and you say, in the land of the free, home of the brave, and you say, don't say that word. And I'm like, what word? That word.
Right.
And we have to use initials and spell stuff. And
it's
then he told me.
Word.
He
it's
told me
F
I
word.
Couldn't
yeah.
spell.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, that's right.
He said, you can't. I said, holy S-H. Can I,
right.
can I
no,
spell
No, you can't
here?
Spell it on the air.
Can you spell it?
Let me just say it this way. As my job is number one is to protect the license, I'd prefer you don't.
Yes. So. No, I get it. But he told me that I couldn't spell it at a public meeting and when I'm redressing my government.
Yeah.
And I just...
The one place where you ought to be the most free to say what you really believe, as
Absolutely.
Long as you're speaking and not just... No, look...
our town square.
That's right. So let me make the counter-argument. Nobody wants a meeting with F-bombs and S-words and personal insults and
me
colorful
either.
Language. And how do you allow what the FCC might call fleeting expletives in live scenarios? How do you allow that... and not let it devolve into what it would become if anything goes. Jonathan?
I mean, maybe you just give a warning. Hey, or you, if, you know, if it's not in writing, it's not real. Give them a list. Here are the words that we do not want, and the board can vote on it, used in our public forum. If you choose to use these words, here's the, you know.
Some clear policy.
Here's the clear policy. Yeah. Goodness knows the county doesn't have clear policies on.
Well, the way I hear it, they have a clear policy about everything.
Except public records.
Including, like, who gets to be the chairman, right? I mean, that's what we were told.
The policy that changes every time it's the chairmanship. Yeah, that
the policy is whatever we say it is this meeting. Sure.
Well, they do have the raw power. That's correct. To make bad decisions and good decisions.
It'd be nice if they were just clear decisions.
Yeah.
Sometimes. So Larry, you said you don't want it to be that either.
No, I don't.
What if somebody comes in who's not Larry Downs Jr., who's not making a point?
Yes.
Somebody comes in and their point is to make the profanity.
Yep. Well,
because there will be such people.
David Suhor.
Yeah. Yep. The point was to be obnoxious.
Yep.
And to make the point, because that's also part of freedom.
And that's the problem with freedom. You can't have freedom without freedom. It's a problem.
That's right.
I mean, either we are going to advocate. I've had some, on both sides of the party, I've had problems with them. And they're like, we just can't do that, and we can't do this, because. And I'm like, where has freedom become the enemy? Right here in the land of the free and home of the brave. Let's change the slogan at least, because it's not adequate. We don't have a lot of brave. We just don't, and we don't have a lot of freedom. Because when I was growing up in the 70s, I was born in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. I heard this 1,000 times from friends, family, anybody I was with, coaches. They would see something they didn't like, and I would hear this right afterwards. I'd be 8, 10, 12, and I'd hear, there ought to be a law against that.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that they didn't like, there ought to be a law against that. Until 40 years later,
now there's a law against that.
Everything. Now they're telling me I can't say holy, bleep.
that call for a prohibition. I mean, there are times when if enough people do a thing badly, if enough people abuse freedom, then eventually that's what is invited, is government restraint, right? That's what gets invited. Now, whether that's the right answer or not, that's its own question.
It's
but
not.
Good behavior doesn't invite those kind of problems.
Well,
but bad behavior is what proves that you have freedom. I mean, problems come from bad behavior, and bad behavior comes from freedom and imperfect people, which we all are.
I've heard that argument. And I've heard it, Larry, listen, it's because there's a few bad apples.
Right.
It's because, you know, if it'll
save... Or more than a few.
If it'll save one life, give up all your freedom.
Well, see, that's where I'm with you.
And I,
if it's one life, no.
If it will save one ear from hearing something offensive, just one ear,
there's an 8-year-old in the meeting, or there's an 8-year-old watching on TV, and the meeting has got to be PG enough for that child. And the answer is no. It doesn't need to be.
No, it doesn't. But yet they will give children books with way worse profanity and sexuality, explicit. And that's in the same school board meetings I go to. They tell me I can't say certain words that are
in the books that are in the school.
Children,
right,
to read.
Yeah, no, that's true. I will say this, because I've kind of, over the years, given a lot of thought to this issue of profanity. I think, generally speaking, radio is better and TV is better because you can't swear. At the same time, profanity has unique communicative power that other words just don't.
Yes.
And you can say it in another way, but you can't say it the same as certain words allow you to say it. And that's judging by the reaction and the impact that those words have. Now, maybe you can argue that it's a better world where we try to say it other way, and that's fine. But the reason those words have power, and if you ban these words, somebody will find other words, and those words eventually become the banned words, right? That is because profanity carries communicative power of emotion, strength, intensity that other words just don't have.
And I agree completely with our meetings need to not be profane. You know, it doesn't need to be. But at the same time, I believe in freedom so much, just like marijuana. I don't do marijuana. I think it's useless. I really do. But I'm all for you to do it. And
tolerance
anybody
or
else.
Freedom, but, right, exactly.
Because it's not my position to prohibit your freedom.
All right, last word on this subject. I got one other one I got to make sure we get to. I knew this would be a good topic for us to talk about. Jonathan, last word on profanity in the meetings. Where do you think the Constitution lies? Anything you want to say?
Guardrails. If you want to imply rules, you need to have what those rules are. You can't say profanity, because profanity has to have some sort of definition. Everything has a definition, right?
If you had a list.
If you had a list, here are the words that we don't allow in this meeting.
Like the non-existent seven words from, you know, George Carlin. There is no such list for the FCC, but yeah, right.
Right.
Some clarity.
Give me some clarity, and then I have a framework that I can work with. I can use another word other than those that may be way worse than what the words on that list. And then that list grows and grows and grows and grows and grows, right? Then we'll find out what happens. If once you start to define something or a set of rules, then you have to follow them.
Totally different subject, but one that I know both of you care passionately about: public records. We were talking about the city of Milton, that they have had real issues with public records from Mayor Heather Lindsay, Mike Cusack, deleted emails, deleted phone texts, got a whole new phone. I mean, you know, the state attorney has declined to prosecute so far, which I think is a real problem, because if the person tasked with enforcing the law isn't going to enforce the law, then why is anybody going to follow it?
Yes.
I think that's a problem. But, okay, across the board, we have people who use their private cell phone and their private emails to do public business. You know, so many politicians, elected leaders, even appointed, hired, whatever, people who are doing public business, and with the Sunshine Law, those are all public records. My opinion is all of that stuff ought to automatically enter a public database. And if they want to remove things that were private from that, okay, that's up to them. But it should just automatically go on a database that Larry Downs or Jonathan Owens or Andrew McKay should be able to just go online and search. I want to see all the county commissioners' emails with the keyword OLF8 in them.
Yep.
There it is.
I agree.
Yes.
Without any filter.
No fee, no filter. No fee. If the program accumulates the information, the program can make it easy to search and disseminate the information.
Yep.
We're going to save staff time. We're going to not have to worry about redactions. Because if it's on your phone or it's on your email, now there might be legal elements to some of it, but that's fine. That's a small thing. But why won't we do it? I know the answer, but why won't we do it? Jonathan, you have...
Because then you can't operate outside the sunshine.
Right, yeah. You can't shade yourself.
Right,
right.
Right.
Well, I'm dealing with that right now with the Florida Athletic Commission. I fought them same as I did the city. So we fought them back in 2011, 12, 13 and a half, and we won our organization. But now public records, same thing. They're not giving me the public records. I sent them one this morning again. And some of the text messages that I have received, it says, hey, call me. Hey, I need this information, that information.
Because a phone call is not a public record. It's not a record.
Yep.
That's the point. If you talk, the metadata of the call existing is a record, but the call itself or a face-to-face conversation is not a public record.
Yep.
And which, if this ever actually did happen, I just know it would mean more coffee meetings. It would, you know, that's what it would mean is they'd have to try harder to circumvent, right?
Yes. More meetings at Smokies?
Fair enough, yeah. Okay, so Jonathan, you were chief of staff for Doug Underhill.
Mm-hmm.
You had a county phone.
I had a county phone and a personal phone. And I did my darndest to make sure that information that was public record or people trying to ask me public-related things or things associated with the job happened on that county phone. Of course, I'm local from here. My phone, I've had the same phone number for 20 something years.
Thousands of people know you.
Yeah, a lot of people know me, and they'll call me on my personal phone. And I would tell them, say, hey, okay, we can talk. That's great. If you send me please send me an email about our conversation to district2@myescambia.com, or you can text me at this number and what my county cell phone was at the time. It's difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, you carry two phones. So do drug dealers. There's a reason why drug dealers carry two phones.
Right.
So they've got, that one. Maybe five.
You're right.
Public records are a real thing. And when you're asked for them, present them. Hey, that's what you're signed up for. You're getting paid to be a public servant if you're an employee. Even if you're on a volunteer or an appointee. I mean, I'm now an appointee for the planning board or for District 1. I will be subject to Sunshine Law again and any communication with whatever topics associated with the planning board.
Yeah.
And I know that. And if you don't want that, then don't sign up for
that.
Or don't communicate with a county commissioner during a meeting. Don't send text messages to a county commissioner during a meeting if you don't want your communication to be public. It's just that simple. Call them after the fact.
I think it ought to be as easy as, if I want to know what Stephen Barry is emailing, I should be able to read all of his emails and see the conversations and the text messages, because that's a part of the business of government. In just as much a way as I'm watching a meeting, hearing the conversation. And how can you really understand the conversation on the dais if you don't understand the conversations that took place behind the dais, behind the screen, that you can request, but that you have to probably pay for, that you have to wait for, that you have to hope they come through on? That's a ridiculous. I mean, if we're really going to contribute, commit to transparency in the Sunshine Law, that's what it would look like.
Yes. And I've received ridiculous amounts of money for public records where they tell me, and I've paid probably over $8,000 in public records requests since 2006.
And see, that's another thing is, look, there may be a transaction cost associated with providing the records, and I don't want to force taxpayers to pay for you because you want frivolous records. That's the extreme case, right? Yeah. But at the same time, you're making it so that average people who aren't willing to pay, or maybe average people who can't pay. Do they have less right and entitlement to the record? That's ridiculous.
Yes, that's ridiculous.
Well, what's the date of the island fight for Alex and Chris?
January 25th, Pensacola Bay Center.
Oh, man, that's going to be good. Larry Downs Jr., Jonathan Owens, thanks for the time.
Thanks.
Thank you.